Mm-hmm. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Coming up next, Good Morning Nueva York, with me, your host, King Downing. Good morning.
Pero tú llevas también sabor a mí.
Si negaras mi presencia en tu vivir, bastaría con abrazarte y conversar. Tanta vida yo te di que por fuerza tienes ya sabor a mí.
No pretendo ser tu dueña, no soy nada, yo no tengo vanidad. De mi vida doy lo bueno, soy tan pobre que otra cosa puedo dar. Pasarán más de 1000 años, muchos más, y yo no sé si tenga amor la eternidad. Aquí en la boca llevarás sabor a mí.
Bird flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel.
How are you this morning? How are you holding up in the middle of these police and pandemics? You're listening to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. In the background, the classic Sabor a Mi. I hope you enjoyed that song. That one goes back a while, Los Pancheros and Edie Gourmet. On today's program, a unique theater group in New Jersey puts on a play that tells a wild historical story about something that happened after the Russian Revolution. We'll be talking to the artistic director of the play and the one of the venue that's putting the event on. And in the second half of the program, a film talks about two societies that have been displaced on different sides of the globe, one in the U.S. and one half a world away. We'll be talking to the producers of that documentary. So stay with us. We're going to be telling a few stories like we may not have in the past, but of course, at the same time, as always, we'll be taking your calls. And now, we're going to get to the weather in a little, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry that we had some technical delays today, so we're going to get right to the music and get to our first segment, and maybe in the second half of the show, we'll have some time to cover the weather in transit. So now, on with the program.
Bye. una sala mig buida, buscant un somni fugint del dolor. Entrant pels ulls a sentir-hi les purnes, aquella història va canviar-li el món. Va perdre-ho tot, la partida i la vida. Cada ciutat li esmiculava el cor. Només el far del sud ell es mira. Segueix la flama fins que res no es mou. I empeny el sol tan bruna, tan forta i prohibida. I es descorda la brusa al seu cos, un somriure viu. Donaria amor si poguessis tornar-me'n. Donaria amor si ens poguéssim mirar. Donaria el món si poguessis parlar-me'n.
Welcome to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. In the first half of our program, a year after the overthrow of Tsar Nicholas I, Anatoly Lunacharsky, Lenin's People's Commissioner and later ambassador to Spain during the Second Republic, organized a trial against God in Moscow, where he charged God with genocide and sentenced him to death. Well, a play now, a dance program, has been created, an unbelievable dance program has been created, called Bogumer, or Children of Lunacharsky, Moscow. And that's going to be playing in Jersey City, and we have folks on the line to tell us about this great event. We have Olga Levina from the Jersey City Center, and then we also have, calling us from Spain, Beryl Sandoya, who is the artistic director of the program that puts the play together, as well as a choreographer and a dancer and a visionary, and she's the one behind the project. So good morning, Olga. Welcome to WBAI.
Good morning, King. Yes, good morning, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
And good morning to Beryl Sandoya. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Beryl, we're going to get right into you in a moment to talk about the play, and we're going to take a listen to it. So, Olga, tell us about the International Theater Festival and about your organization, JCTC.
Thank you for asking, King. Our organization started in 2006, and Jersey City Theater's mission is to produce and present works that tackle these issues of our times through the arts relevant to our community, yet universal in scope. When we started in Jersey City, it was very difficult because there were no spaces available for theater and art. And our first production, we actually produced in New York City, Land of Fire. It was incredible play by Luis Santero. So we started in New York City, but of course we created the company because of the name and our supporters for Jersey City.
And when is the event?
A couple of years ago, well, I have to say that 4 years ago, I started working with Institute Roman Lul that supports Catalan culture in United States. And I started inviting international guests because Jersey City is known for its diversity. So I started invite international guests to perform at our venues. And later on, it's turned into international festival. So it is our third annual festival. And actually, we had an opening and Immigration Arts Summit yesterday night. So we just opened festival. Hello?
Yes, so tell us when this performance is going to be on, and then we'll talk to Vero.
Well, this particular performance will be on Zoom. Tickets already on sale, www.jctcenter.org, Bugamer. So you can just go on our website and purchase tickets, but because borders are still closed between many countries, and artists have difficulties with visas, we're still going to be on Zoom this year, but hopefully by next year we're going to be able to have all our guests in person.
Great. And so as I turn to Vera, I didn't announce the opening song, and because Catalan culture is such a big part of things here, I played the song Sopa de Cabra, Goat Soup, by El Far del Sud. So, Vera, welcome to the show. And before we talk about the play, tell us about the importance of what Catalan culture is and what its importance is to you and your work.
Sorry, if I don't answer the right question, it's because I don't hear you very well, but about Catalan culture, you told me?
That's okay. That's okay. No hablo español.
Yeah. No. It's okay. It's just that I wanted to be sure that it was a question. Well, first of all, thank you and very much to Olga and nice to meet you at least in voice. We are a company, dance company from Barcelona. Sopa de Cabra, I love it. I was in all the concerts when I was young, so it's nice. And nothing, we are a company that we work with theater and dance. And it's a long time I work also with people with different abilities. And Bogumer is our like first biggest show in this way, because in 13 years of company, we have done a lot, but I was doing a lot of social work also with art, but I thought it was very important to do it professional with them, that they can be, I mean, for me, the most important thing is that somebody has a, like, charisma and, like, the opportunity and the speciality to speak on the stage and to be communicative. And I think everybody can do that, even with Instagram disabilities. So that's why I was doing with my company about the social project.
So tell us the story of this dance performance, if I'm pronouncing it right, Bogumer. Tell us the story about it.
Well, Bogumer, I wanted to work about the power and all this, because in Spain, like 5 years ago, there was a lot of demonstration in the street, and especially with the Catalan independence question, we are all the time in demonstration in the street. So I wanted to work about the power and the government and the people and the power and all this kind of stuff. So I found this thing of the trial of God that happened in real in Russia when the Russians, the Soviets, win the revolution. They decided to do a trial to God. And after five with testimonies, with everything, and in the court, they, after 5 hours of testimonies of what God has done to the people, like natural disasters or whatever, all the things can happen to us, so we can say God, no, sometimes. So the lawyers were there. The lawyer of God just say it in or not to be guilty, like a severe dementia disorder, but nobody believed him. So at the end, God was they found him guilty. And at the end, at the next day, in the square, on the red square, they shoot to the air. So they demonstrate that God was already killed. So it's a story that quite crazy, but I found it like the most, not brave, let's say, whatever, attempt to have power, of the people, to have the power. So I found it. And from there, we speak about the Soviet Union, and but in dance, theater, and humor, overall humor.
So Vera, we're going to take a listen to a little bit of the opening of Bogumer, and then we will have you back on again. So let's take a listen. Okay. All of this part of the JCTC Festival online.
Okay.
Playing in the background, Olga, can you read off some of the things they're saying? It's like the dance, the background of the dance is the reading of the indictment of all the things that the that the Russian official was indicting God for all of the disasters around the world. Can you read the first few of those?
Yes, absolutely. I was kind of reading simultaneously, but yes, absolutely. Shaanxi, China, 1556. Earthquake, 830,000 dead. Germany, 1618, 1648. Bubonic plague and typhoid fever. 8 million dead.
Okay, good. China. That's a taste. So that was just to give folks a little taste of what is going on in the background of the dance. In the meanwhile, there's a lot of movement. It's a challenge to describe dance, but there's all sorts of fluidity, all sorts of tension here. So this is something to please check out. Once again, Olga Levina from JCTC, please give us the date and where it is that people can see Bogomer or Children of Lunacharsky, Moscow.
The day of the performance is October 9th, and listeners can go on www.jcccenter.org, www.jcccenter.org, to purchase tickets, and it will be viewing of the show online, and then talk back with artistic director of the company and also Catalan Institute of Culture here in New York City.
Great. I'll have to follow up on that. I learned a lot about Catalan culture here, so I'm going to follow up and have them on to talk about that important topic. So this is the International Theater Festival, October 9th. Go to the JCTC Center to get your tickets. Thank you, Olga Levina, who's the Artistic Director of International Theater Festival. And thank you so much, Vera Sandoya. This was a great, great performance. I really enjoyed it. And listeners, you will too. Thank you for your creative work and for checking in with us all the way from Spain, where at least there it's the middle of the day.
I'm sorry, because I'm in the middle of the village in my car, because I can't listen to anything.
The sacrifices.
We gotta go
now. The sacrifices people make. Thank you both. Please check out the program. In the next half of the show, we're going to be talking about a film that compares two areas of the world that are catching hell now. So don't go anywhere.
foc surt del cine. Sessió de nit, avui ja és l'últim dia. S'endú el cartell, arriba a casa i l'espia. L'habitació es transforma en un món nou. I li escriu 100.000 cartes, la busca i viatja. I al seu centre s'escapa, perd l'ordre i la casa. Apaga el sol tan bruna, tan feble i prohibida. S'enfonsa en les ombres, el seu cos un somriure. Donaria amor si poguessis tornar-me. Donaria amor si pogués ser veritat.
Hey, this is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh WBAI, you're listening to WBAI, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. And become a BAI buddy today.
The 2021 local station board elections are underway. Two parallel, separate elections amongst listener and staff members are electing 9 and 3 members, respectively, to be seated on the local station board. Need help deciding who to vote for to represent you on the local station board? Visit elections.pacifica.org for links to audio and video materials, including candidate statements, forums, and debates. There you can file a ballot request to get a copy of your ballot or even reset your vote if you made a mistake. Members without access to the internet can call 510-993-0320 to leave a message for the election supervisor. Paper ballot replacements will be issued through October 1st. All ballots must be received by October 15th, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time to be counted.
Listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Welcome back. The program is Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. In the background, you were hearing Lakota Drummers, and that is part of the opening music for a film that we're going to be talking about today that you have a chance to see. It's a documentary called Spaces of Exception. And it tells the story of two peoples separated a world apart who are going through very similar histories, one more in the past, continuing into the present, and actually both in the past, but one in the more recent past. So the film is called Spaces of Exception, and joining us are Matt Peterson, a producer and director of this great film. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
And also Malik Rasamni, who is calling in, checking in from Paris, another one of the producer directors of the film. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, Matt, before we start and talk about the film, I played the opening piece from your Lakota Drummers. Do they have a name? I always want to give folks props for their creativity.
I mean, I think this audio that you were playing was stuff we filmed at a powwow celebration on Pine Ridge on the Indian Reservation during a memorial for Leonard Peltier a few years ago that we were there. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily, you know, a recorded piece that we used, but something we captured live on site. So I don't remember, you know, if it was a specific group or something that was more ad hoc that was there just for that specific
memorial. That's great. That's great. So give us the tagline for Spaces of Exception.
Spaces of Exception is a film that, you know, we, Malik and I, have been making for, you know, back since 2014, which was this attempt to juxtapose the experiences of American Indians here, the American Indian reservations in the United States and Palestinian refugee camps in the Middle East, to kind of put these two experiences of settler colonialism side by side and see where were the similarities and differences and how juxtaposing them could help us understand a bit better these dynamics.
And Malik, tell us about these two societies and what it is that you found.
Well, I think for us, what really interested us, I mean, I myself, I grew up between Lebanon and the United States. So I noticed from a very early age that there was a kind of, I mean, I'm not Palestinian myself, and I'm not native, but I noticed being from the outside that there was something particular about both spaces that kind of seemed somewhat similar in their relationship to the countries that they were in. That is to say, the Palestinian refugee camps growing up in Lebanon were spaces that were kind of outside the sovereignty of the Lebanese state, and that had a very particular history that's very personal to Lebanon. That's not only Lebanon, but the entire region. Obviously, in terms of the Lebanese civil war and in terms of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, but there was a certain history that was really rooted in the Palestinian refugee camp that one understands if he grows up in the Middle East or in Lebanon. And I think that I saw that there was something similar to be said about native reservations, that they hold a particular history and that they are, in their very construction, in their spatial dynamics and how they exist, they in and of themselves tell a very important story and a very painful story that really reveals a lot about America, in the same way that the refugee camps in Palestine reveal a lot about Lebanon and Palestine and Israel. So we thought that if we could go to both spaces and speak to people, talk to people, film, that in and of itself, and then juxtapose them, that in and of itself would reveal something quite powerful.
And Matt, tell us some of the dynamics getting to the technical film side. Well, before we get to that, tell us what the testimony was for the indigenous side of things. Tell what kinds of things were people sharing, and then I'll turn to Malik to ask the same thing about those you interviewed on the Palestinian side.
But I mean, I think one of the dynamics, and you touched on in the beginning, is we wanted to show both spaces as, you know, contemporary, living, embodied experiences of resistance to the settler colonialism that, you know, they've both experienced. So, you know, we didn't really use a lot of archival footage. We wanted to go to these reservations as they exist now today and talk to people who are involved in kind of local community organizing, local kind of resistance movements for sovereignty, you know, land back movements, and hear exactly what's happening and what they're thinking and how they kind of exist in the here and now, and not as this historical phenomenon, and not just to talk about, you know, the histories of oppression and exploitation, but to show and kind of showcase that these are living and actually growing communities here in the United States. And, you know, these spaces in some ways are quite remote. They're a bit foreign to normal kind of city-dwelling metropolitan citizens of the U.S. to really kind of immerse ourselves and the audience and everyone to kind of what's happening inside reservations now and simultaneously, you know, in refugee camps, so to bring people into these spaces and document and transmit and travel around with these short portraits and this feature film, Spaces of Exception, to really travel between, you know, the Middle East and the United States to kind of transmit testimonies from both sides about what's happening in the present.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio, and we're talking about the documentary Spaces of Exception, and we have with us two of the key people who were the producer-directors of this great documentary, Matt Peterson from Calling from the U.S. and Malik Rassamni, who is calling, who is checking in with us from Paris. Before we get to the details, Malik, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell me one of the stories that stood out for you, almost as an anecdote? So, you know, one day during the filming, you know, this came about or this happened.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's the first time I've been asked that question. There are many anecdotes. It's hard to draw on a particular anecdote per se, but the warmth and generosity of the people that we met in both spaces is definitely something that I can remember very, very well. I mean, I have one anecdote that comes to mind, but it's a kind of painful anecdote, which is how when we arrived in Bethlehem at the Daisha refugee camp, and this was our first time arriving in the West Bank, our first time arriving in Palestine, a young man had been killed the night before we arrived, and we went to his funeral. And that was the occasion we had to speak to a lot of the Palestinian youth and really get a firsthand experience of what it is that they're going through and how it's affecting them. So that was an anecdote that there are many more happy anecdotes, but for some reason, the ones that really stick in your mind are the painful ones. Other anecdotes that would be our time in Standing Rock and how we were able to reconnect with a lot of the people that we had met in Pine Ridge, because we went to Pine Ridge in late 2014, and then just a few years later, Standing Rock happened, and it was really... I have a very interesting anecdote is when we got to meet two different people, one in Pine Ridge and one in Standing Rock, native people from Pine Ridge, who had actually gone to Lebanon during the Civil War and were basically training or doing solidarity missions with the PLO, with the Palestinians. So there was this kind of history of international solidarity way before, and it was really fascinating to be in the middle of South Dakota, almost in the middle of nowhere, you know, in a house, talking to someone about Lebanon in the early 1980s. And this gentleman had never left the United States except for that one time where he went to, of all places, a Palestinian refugee camp in Lebanon during the Civil War. And we met a lady with a similar experience later on at Pine Ridge. So that was definitely a unique anecdote.
Let me get one from your partner as well.
Sure.
You know, we don't always get to ask the filmmakers who are immersed in this, you know, what it is, you know, an anecdote that shares their experience. We sort of leave it to the film to do that. So, Matt, what would yours be?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that comes to mind, you know, like Malik was saying, this first day that we arrived in Palestine, you know, we saw, you know, this firsthand experience of martyrdom. But subsequent, you know, each day that we were in Palestine shooting, you know, we experienced tear gas, we experienced, you know, conflict with the Israeli army. You know, Malik himself was detained and arrested by the IDF in one of the conflicts in the refugee camp, so... It was really kind of quite clear that there was, you know, a daily physical conflict and confrontation between the Palestinians and, you know, and the Israeli authorities and army and occupying force. So it wasn't, you know, difficult for us to kind of show clearly these dynamics that are at work in the West Bank. You know, in places like Lebanon and, you know, the reservations, there's a kind of slower violence that's taking place more infrastructurally, you know, but you don't quite see, you know, firsthand this conflict. There are these moments in Standing Rock and in the West Bank where it's quite clear that there's direct confrontation, but part of the film is to also show the extent we can that the slower violence that takes place just in how these spaces are externalized and put kind of in the periphery, you know, not given full resources or access. to, you know, technology or whatever that citizens are have the ability to access or something. So for us, a big part of the film, and as we were going, was how do we visually, you know, document, represent the experience of traveling to these reservations and the camps, and what it looks like and feels like and smells like, you know, these places that, you know, most citizens do not enter and access and kind of experience and talk to people. So I think going through the whole process of shooting the film, it was really thinking about how do we convey all of this information and this feeling and this experience, you know, as filmmakers or something. So those are some things that come to mind for me.
Great. So we're going to open up the phone lines. Folks who may have questions or comments, it could be about either section because we didn't get to open up the phone lines for the first part of the program, which was the International Theater Festival and their running of the really dramatic dance program, Bogomer, The Children of Lucharsky, Moscow, the story of an actual trial that was held after the Russian Revolution, which one of the officials had a trial charging God with genocide, and the dance show opens up with all of the natural disasters that have happened in the world. And despite the topic, it's a very lively dance presentation, and we'll be giving that information out again. So you'll have a chance to talk about that or this great film, which you'll be able to see, Spaces of Exception. And we're going to go to that right after we let you know that you can call us at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. For your questions or comments about the first part of the show or this part of the show, if you've got questions or comments for Matt or Malik about Spaces of Exception or anything else that you want to talk about, 212-209-2877. The Good Morning Nueva York WBAI listener line is brought to you by members of the station. You know, we are a nonprofit network of stations around the country, and we rely on your support. So members just like you who have donated $25 or more to the station by going to givetowbai.org, givetowbai.org. And of course, for donations larger than the minimum, we have great gifts, books, DVDs, health products, films as gifts to you. The line is also brought to you by our WBAI buddies, people who have joined our sustainer program and have had as little as $10 a month automatically transferred from their bank accounts to the station's giving money that we can count on, WBAI buddy. So give in the name of Good Morning Nueva York or your favorite show or the entire station. Give to WBAI.org. Let's take a listen to the trailer for Spaces of Exception.
The killer that they created. You can't see what they've done.
So no one should ever refer to ourselves as a nation. We are not. We're a people. That's who we are.
Yeah.
And that's the trailer for Spaces of Exception, and we will give you the link to how you can see that film free for a limited time virtually. We have a caller on the line. So, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question or comment?
My name is Denise. I'm calling from Brooklyn. And, King, I really want to encourage you to make a little more space for callers. It will help to bring supporters to WBAI. And as Russell has said previously, if callers don't come through, the guests think that people are not interested in what they have to say and want to support, you know, their cause. It's very important that you make a space for the listener. It will be the thing that will allow us to continue. That's how we started, by having listener call-ins come in and speak to the guest and give ideas, and that's how we're going to be able to prosper.
Thank you, Denise. Thank you, Denise. And what I will say is that on almost every show, I make time for callers. The only thing that I'll say today is that we had some technical situations, and that's the reason why I didn't take callers in the first segment. And there aren't many shows that actually take callers in both halves of the program. But I appreciate the comment, and we'll try to find time to balance the two. So I did also reach out to one person who has raised that before, and I'm still waiting for that person to email me at king@WBAI. So thank you. So turning back to Matt and Malik, with the time we have left, which is none, please tell us in 30 seconds how people can see this film.
The film's available now, I think, for the rest of the week on eFlux's website. So if you Google eFlux and Spaces of Exception, or, you know, go to the Native and the Refugees website or Facebook, you can find a link to the site, or maybe on this show's website we can post the link. But if you Google Spaces of Exception eFlux, you'll find a link to where you can stream the film for full, you know, for free. It's a 90-minute feature-length documentary. And, yeah, we'd love to hear from people if they want to contact us or write to us or email us about, you know, their reactions or responses to the film or any questions like that. And, you know, thanks again for having us to showcase the project.
Yes, thank you. Our clock has run down. It's the tyranny of the clock. But I want to thank the two of you, Matt Peterson, Malik Rasamny, from Spaces of Exception. You can go to eflux.com, or you can just put the name of the film in, Spaces of Exception, into your search engine, and you can see the film. So let us know when your next project is out, or when the film is showing in New York, and we'll have you all back on again. So thank you. That's the end of our program. We'll be back tomorrow with some more programming. There's a lot of stuff still going on the station through the rest of the day, so please stay tuned, and then we'll hear you tomorrow.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. Feeling good. Fish in the sea. You know how I feel. River running free. You know how I feel. Blossom on the tree. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life. You a new dawn. It's a new day.
New day.
Yes, it's